Let's start with Jesus. That's always a good place to start, don't you think? So Jesus came to upend the law. And he said, I'm not demolishing the law. I'm not, you know, eradicating the law. What did he say? I have come to fulfill the law. Okay? So Old Testament, Israel, Jews, you know, an agrarian society, what did they do? They had these festivals and they gave part of their harvest, okay? And so they would actually have big events. And at first harvest, all good Jews were asked to bring the first fruits of their harvest off the top, the best, 10%. That's where we get this word tithe, T-I-T-H-E. Have you ever heard anybody saying, are you tithing? Have you, you know, do you tithe? You know. And so, okay, what was that for? It was to honor God because God had blessed them with rain and all good things. And it was also to feed the priests, to be quite honest. If you go back to the Old Testament, the people were to bring their first fruits to take care of the before the temple, the synagogue, the tabernacle, and the priests. All good things. But guess what? What did Israel often do, which we often do? We forget, we turn, our hearts become hard, and we do things for the wrong motivation. You ever been there, like me? It happens, okay? That's what we call sin, right? That's why we confess our sins and God is faithful and just to forgive our sins. But He loves us. He's a pursuing God. He's a merciful God. But in our generosity and our giving, this happened in Israel and it happens to us. So God really came down hard on Israel. And He said, I'm sick of your sacrifices. This is Isaiah 1. Don't bring me any more of them. I don't want your fat rams. I don't want to see the blood from your offerings. Who wants your sacrifices when you have no sorrow for your sins? The incense you bring me is a stench in my nostrils. Your holy celebrations of the new moon and the Sabbath, bringing your first fruits and your special days for fasting, even your most pious meetings, all of these are fraud. I want nothing more to do with them. Wow. So here's an obedient people bringing the first fruits, continuing to do what they're supposed to do. So why is God upset? What did you hear in Isaiah?
Their
heart was not in it. Thank you. So there was a hardness. He even said, you don't even care about your sin anymore, right? So this is a clue to us that part of this generosity and what we heard out of the sermon is that generosity and stewardship is a response. It's a response to what God has done for us. And God was upset at Israel because they had forgotten what He had provided. And there was a coldness to their giving. It was out of obligation, out of duty, out of show. Not out of, Lord, I love you. You have provided much. And I want to sacrifice and provide offerings to you. Okay? So it begins with God. It does not begin with us. Oftentimes we think, oh, this is something I should do. This is not the math of heaven. The math of heaven is God wants you to recognize Him, His grace, His love, devote our hearts, and out of gratitude for that, then we are considering what we can give sacrificially, time, talents, and treasure. It took me a long time to figure that out. Has anybody else kind of been in that boat? You know, this is about obligation and not about grace. And so the series that we're going through is really to emphasize those points. And it helps all of us because I think even in our well-meaning Christian world, we can be shaming. You know, I've had people come up to me and say, oh, I'm a tither. Okay. I'm a lover of Jesus. You know, I mean, what does God want? Okay. So let's go back to Jesus. Jesus has a concept of giving sacrificially from the heart. Okay. This isn't on your sheet, but I want to read this. It talks about what sacrificial giving really looks like. And so Jesus in Luke 21 says, Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts in the offering box. But then he saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. And he said, truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. So what do we learn from Jesus here? It's not about the amount of the gift. It's about the amount of the gift compared to what you have to give. This poor woman putting two coins in basically gave all that she had to live on for the day. A huge sacrifice. While the wealthy who are loading in and wanting everybody to see how much they're putting in, thinking they're giving out of their abundance and they should be recognized, not attractive in the eyes of Jesus. So we're to give from the heart. We're to give sacrificially. And sometimes we think that we are, you know, we're to be obedient and give a lot of money. We are to tithe, right? Well, tithing isn't necessarily bad. For some of us, tithing isn't realistic. Okay? For some of us, giving more than 10% makes sense. What is sacrificial to each of us? Giving, generosity, stewardship is between you and God. Because God has touched you and your heart with His grace. And let's go back to that word, response. So our encouragement to you is, how do you respond to what God has done for you in your life, right? So, beautiful wife Brenda, we have been married 17 years. Yay, almost 17. So we were dating, almost engaged, and we're having a very intimate conversation about giving. And she challenged me. She said, where are you in giving to the Lord, giving to the kingdom? Where are you? I had an honest answer. And she said, you know, maybe we need to consider that, because it doesn't to me sound like, given your resources, that you are sacrificing anything. And she's got this wonderful saying, which is, we need to give until it's lifestyle altering. Because you always wonder, what does a sacrifice look like today? Well, for me, I was going to sacrifice something in my budget that I really enjoyed, golf, and club, and we prayed and made a decision that was going to go away. And that part of our budget went into our giving, okay? And that was the impact of a Christian sister at the time, not a wife, but a Christian sister, challenging my heart to say, how do you think about giving? How do you think about generosity? How do you think about stewardship? By the way, if we were to get engaged or get married, I would want a husband who gives sacrificially, a great encouragement. And so I thank you for that. So when we got married, that trend continued, okay? So we prayed together, not only about our financial, but about our time and our talents. And in our first marriages, we did not have a marriage that where our partners were on mission with us for the kingdom. Okay. We desired that in our marriage. So we prayed, Lord, how can you use us if we're to be united? And the answer came, you have been broken through divorce. I want you to help people who have been broken through divorce. And so we came to the church and prayed with the elders and pastors. And so we started working in marriage ministry, 17 years ago. And so divorce care and union and small groups and reengage. And so our time and our talents are now more devoted to kingdom work than when I was at J.P. Morgan doing money center bank work, okay? And so there's a trade-off, which led me to a career change. So after 7 or 8 years, I retired from J.P. Morgan and came on staff. And as J.P. says, I consult, do some other consulting. But it's an evaluation of our heart as to how we respond to God's grace. So that's sacrificial. The other thing is, it's not out of obligation, right? It's out of this heartfelt giving in response to God's grace. It's sacrificial. But here's something we often forget, which is a great test. You know what it is? We are to give cheerfully. Wow. Okay. So Paul in 2 Corinthians says, let each one give thoughtfully and with purpose, just as he has decided in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver and delights in the one whose heart is in his gift. Wow. So as we collectively as brothers and sisters together are thinking about God's grace lavishly being given to us every day, let's think about our cheerful response, not out of obligation, but out of sacrifice, out of heartfelt love. Okay? So motivations of the heart matter. We talked about how Israel drifted and their hearts were hard, but Christ came to show us in fleshly form, the love and mercy and grace of our Heavenly Father. So our core verse for the day, or verses, is what Paul read in the service, and it's on your table, on the handout, under key passage. And I'm going to read this, and then we're going to make a few points. Then we're going to show a video, and we're going to talk in your tables. Okay, this is Ephesians 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who were in Ephesus, those are other believers, and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying, this is my greeting to you, grace to you, peace from God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. Wow. So what Paul said, which I couldn't believe, the actual translation that we have today has like four sentences. It's forever. The original Greek, there's a Greek scholar in here I just talked to. It's one sentence. Where's our Greek scholar? Is this not right?
That's right. Yeah.
That's right. I met, you know, when we talked about what you do in Snow Day, I met this guy, and he's studying Greek at RTS. Okay, so am I correct? This is one long sentence. Wow. And Goebel, really in a cool way, talked about how. Aren't you glad we talked? This whole idea of God is blessed and he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing is really about the praiseworthiness of God, right? So our focus as Christians in understanding our generosity is to understand who God is. He's praiseworthy. And Paul is casting a eulogy, a blessing on all of the people in Ephesus about this great God that we have and what he has done for us. So to me, as I've studied and read and reflected on this, this is the reason that I'm generous. Not because of obligation or because I'm going to look good or because I need to please Brenda. It's because of what God has done for me. Look at this, verse 3. In Christ, we have been given Christ, with every spiritual blessing that comes from Christ. We have been adopted into the family and we are co-inheritors with the living Jesus Christ. Is that not amazing? Verse 4, we were chosen before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before a living God. Not holy and blameless in our works or out of our obligation, but why? Because the grace of Jesus Christ, the blood that he shed for us, has made us holy. We stand in his righteousness before the throne of God. Verse 5, we've been adopted sons and daughters through his grace. We have not had to earn this. We've not had to work at it. We've not had to be good enough like all the other world religions. By his grace, we have been saved. By his grace. Verse 7, we have been redeemed by his blood. Okay, this redeemed word. We have been purchased, okay? Because of sin, a penalty has to be made for sin. Sin results in death for all that are outside of the blood of Christ. So his blood has redeemed us from that penalty. Praise God. Verse 10, we are united to him. Wow. Isn't this crazy in John how they talk about, Jesus says, God is in me, I am in God, and we are in you. We are united. You know, in our union class, we talk about as man and woman come together, you are united in a brand new spiritual relationship. We are united to God and Christ in this relationship. We have, verse 11, we have obtained an inheritance. Verse 13, where this all goes, we have everlasting life and we have been given the Holy Spirit to seal us for that day. Wow. Is that not incredible? I mean, how fresh and powerful is the Word of God? I mean, how many times have I read this and this morning by the power of the Holy Spirit has been made fresh? Thank you, Lord. So here's my question. So what do we do with this new understanding and knowledge of God's grace? What is our heart's response to this lavish love and blessing that is in this amazingly long sentence? Okay? And then what do we do? How do we steward what God has given us? Okay, the physical things in earth, we have these spiritual things that are to come that we just talked about, but we have these physical things. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. On earth, empowered in us by the Holy Spirit with our time, and our money and our service. And that's the reflection.